Good to be here again with you. And thank you so much for your hospitality and for housing here. We don't have to drive long distance to get to church. It's a blessing with three kids. It's very practical for us. And thank you for all the gifts. And my wife loved those handmade gifts and everything that she received yesterday. It was very special. She loved it. And thank you for the food and everything. Appreciate it. I'm going to speak about the work of the Lord, what God is doing in Persia. He's doing a lot in Persia. What you hear in the media is usually negative. You hear about terrorism, killing, bloodshed, and death to America, death to Israel. You know, Iran and Muslims are against America and against Israel. That's true. But God is working in those countries. And you'll see that through this presentation. So I'm not going to preach, but I'm going to just present what the Lord is doing. Just declare His glory, what He's doing in a hard country like Iran. So population of Iran is 88 million. And they speak in Farsi. There are different dialects, probably 30 different dialects. I speak in Azeri, Azerbaijani language is my mother language, but in school, everybody studies in Farsi, so I speak in Persian or Farsi, as well as Azeri, and I know Turkish a little bit, and I'm learning English still, and English is hard language. So you see that map right in the heart of the Middle East. The government of Iran is very against America. They try to destroy Israel. They've been trying to, they have invested billions of dollars to get nuclear bombs, you know, using Russia to help them to achieve that goal so that they can come against Israel so that they can bring 12 Mahdi. They believe that that 12 Mahdi, who was 12 successor of Muhammad, he's going to come back one day. He was born, and as soon as he was born, he ascended up to heaven, and he's going to come back one day. False Christ, as Jesus said, there shall arise many false Christs and deceive many. So they're waiting for his coming, the person who never existed in the history, but they want to give credit to their own religion by saying that, yes, we also have return of our Savior, Mahdi. But Mahdi, according to Islamic tradition, he's not going to return unless Muslims destroy Israel. That's the only condition that he's going to come back to bring justice and peace. So they are genuine. They try to destroy Israel so that this 12 Mahdi, the savior of the world, would come to bring peace and justice. So I'm going to start with history of Persian. So if you study Genesis chapter 10, that's where the table of nations is found. All the nations came out of three sons of Noah, called Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Arabs are descendants of Ham. They are Hamites. But then I'm going to focus on Shem. Shem had five sons in Genesis chapter 10, verse 22. The first son of Shem is called Elam, who was the founder of Iran. How do you know that? Well, I know that because I grew up in Iran. If you go to the west of Iran, there is a province called Elam. Elam has about 500,000 population and still there. And Elam is a place not far away from Shush and the palace where Nehemiah was, Esther and Daniel. In fact, Daniel's tomb is in Shush. We call it Shushan. That's where Daniel's tomb is right now. Mordecai, Esther's tomb, they are right there in the west of Iran, not far from Elam. Remember after the flood, eight souls got saved out of the flood, and then God told them to be fruitful and multiply, and then scatter. They had to scatter around the world. So obviously, Elam, the son of Shem, he married probably his sister, and then his number grew, his family grew, and became later on in Genesis 14, we read about Elamites. Elamites, they had king over them, and Og and other kings. So this Elam became, he got married, he had family, and then later on became a tribe. And later on, it grew and became a big empire, Persian Empire. The first king was King Cyrus. So that's Elam. But the third son of Shem is called Arphaxad. Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. Eber was the father of Hebrews. In fact, in Hebrew language, you don't say Hebrew. They say Ibri. Ibri. Son of Selah was Eber, who was the father of Hebrews. In Genesis 14, verse 13, says that Abraham was Hebrew. So these are Jews. So you see Jews, Shemites, Jews, and Persians are Shemites, descendants of Shem. So they are brothers. Iran had a good friendship with Israel for a long time. Remember Cyrus, he gave them silver and gold to go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the house of the Lord. Many of Persian kings blessed Israel. They had good relationship till Ayatollah came. Ayatollah came and according to Islam, Jews and Christians as well, people of the book, are worst of all creatures. They are bad people, like worse than pigs, worse than animals. So as a result, Ayatollah said, you have to curse Israel. So I grew up in Iran. A few times a year, we have to go on the street to curse America and curse Israel. This is what we've been forced to do. Otherwise, they'll kick you out of school, out of job. So you have to do it. You have to obey what they say. But we had good relationship till Ayatollah. And because of that, Iran has been cursed since Ayatollah came. Can you tell? I will bless them, bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, God said to Abraham. That's very true. I can see that, how Iran has been destroyed this last 45 years. And then you have Japheth, who was your father. Europeans and Americans, the white people are descendants of Japheth. So you are Japhite. So first king of Persia was King Cyrus. His name means like the sun, like the sun. That goes back to his religion. The ancient religion of Persia was Zoroastrianism, founded by Zoroaster, or we call him Zartosht, in 600 BC. They believed in dualism, like two gods. There was this good god called Ahura Mazda, who was the good god rising from the east where the sun arises. So they see sunrise, this light coming up, and blessings in this life, good things. They thought that this Ahura Mazda is causing this good and bringing peace and light, creator of light. So that's where you get the Mazda car brand from. So if you have a Mazda car, I'm not saying that your car is a demon possessed. I'm not saying that, okay? And then you have Ahriman, or we call him Ahriman. He was the evil god from the west where the sun sets. So they believe that you see darkness in the evening and evil things in the world. Ahriman is causing this evil and darkness in the world. That's why we have both of them, good things and evil things in the world. These two gods are equal in power. They struggle with each other. They try to balance each other out. And we know that it's false because our God is almighty. He is not balanced with anything. He's over demonic power. And so they believe in good works. It's good work-based salvation. If you do good, you're going to go to heaven. If you do bad, you'll go to hell. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1 to 7, there is a prophecy about King Cyrus. This is about 176 years before even King Cyrus, before even he was born. Thus says the Lord, he's anointed to Cyrus. This is anointed, the chosen one. God chose Cyrus. Why? In verse 4, it tells us why. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. So God knew already that Israelite will turn their back on God. And then Jeremiah prophesied. He said that the Babylonians are going to come. They're going to take you captives. You'll be there for 70 years. And after that, God will raise a king. He's going to come deliver you, referring to King Cyrus. So God already plans in advance. He knows that Cyrus will deliver them. So he calls them. He said, you didn't know me. Dodah has not known me, because he didn't know Jehovah. He knew Ahura Mazda and Aromeo. So verse 5, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee. Dodah has not known me again. And verse 6, not only God mentions the name of Cyrus in the Bible, but also he gives us his religion, that they may know from the rising of the sun, referring to Ahura Mazda, and from the west, referring to Ahriman or Aromeo, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things, not Ahura Mazda or Aromeo, as King Cyrus believed. So God is, it's amazing, God even tells us what he believed, referring to Zoroastrianism that didn't even exist in Isaiah's time. It came later on. But God gives us his name and his religion, whom he believed. But something happened to Cyrus, that later on in the book of Ezra, we realize that he is saved. He's changed. He believes in Jehovah. It says now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, let's see what Cyrus said. He said, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia. He said, the Lord, that's Jehovah. Jehovah, God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. And he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? That's referring to Jews. His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, the temple. God of Israel, look, he said, he is the God, which is in Jerusalem. This is what King Cyrus said. He said, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He's not like bragging like King Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, he was looking at his palace. He said, isn't this great Babylon that I have builded with the might of my power for the honor of my majesty? And he was just bragging, my, I have built it. And a voice fell from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, your kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive you from man, and your dwelling place shall be with the beast in the field, and seven times shall pass over you till you acknowledge that the Lord God of heaven gives the kingdom to whoever he wants. So he was bragging, and then he was driven away from man. Bible says that he was eating grass like an oxen for 7 years, and after 7 years, his understanding returned to him. But King Cyrus is not bragging like that. He said, the Lord God of heaven. Josephus said that one of the Jewish priests showed his name in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, and King Cyrus read the book of Isaiah, and he was stunned, Josephus said. He was astonished that his name was written in the book of Isaiah already. And some scholars say that that was Daniel, and it could be Daniel, because Daniel served from Babylonian captivity to the Persian Empire. So Daniel was there in Persia. His tomb is in Shush by Elam, city of Iran. So possibly it was Daniel. So he believed in Jehovah. And I believe it sounds like he's a saved person. He believes in Jehovah. He's declaring, he's sending this proclamation throughout all his kingdom. He ruled all over the world in his time. And he believes in God's people, his people. He blesses them. He gives them silver and gold. He believes in the house of the Lord. And he said he is the God, which is in Judah. And then when Jesus was born, wise men came from the east. They gave gifts to Jesus, and many scholars say that they were Persians, possibly disciples of Daniel. Daniel taught magicians, that refers to, you know, those who had the knowledge of stars, and they read the scripture. You know, they found the star of Messiah. So they were learning the school of Daniel. Daniel was teaching these people there in Iran, and later on they followed the scripture and the star of Messiah. They found Jesus and they worshipped him. And on the day of Pentecost, you read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 9, they were Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and so on. There were 16 different nationalities. But those Parthians and Medes and Elamites, if you look at this map of Iran, you see Media is there, Parthia and Elam. That was, they were like three different, like tribal, like different divisions in Iran. Later on, Cyrus united them. So it became just one country, Persia, Iran. Iran was changed, by the way, from Persia to Iran in 1935, but it was always Persia. So according to Hippolytus, so those Iranians, they traveled to Jerusalem under the Pentecost. They heard the gospel in their own language, in Farsi. They heard it in Farsi. Apostle preached in Hebrew, possibly, and they heard it in Farsi. That was gift of tongues that God enabled them to spread the gospel, to communicate the gospel in their own language, and many people heard it. They got saved, and they went back to Iran. Guess what happened? They spread the gospel. They preached the gospel in Iran, and Hippolytus said that six disciples of Jesus Christ as well, they also traveled to many countries, but also to Parthia and Persia, preached the gospel, and three of them were martyred for preaching of the gospel in Iran. Do you think that these six disciples of Jesus Christ led so many people to the Lord in Iran? They did. They did, and as a result, we had church plant movement in Iran. This is still there in Iran, this church of San Thaddeus, Kara Kilisa, they call it. It means black church. Its building is a little bit black. So many churches were planted in Iran. This is from, they say that it might be from first or second century, this building still there. And this is another old church, St. Stephen's Church there in Persia. So because of the preaching, a lot of people were getting saved, and they were getting saved out of Zoroastrianism, and they were persecuted by Zoroastrianists. And later on, when Arabs invaded our country, then Christians were persecuted by Muslims as well. So Christians have been persecuted in Iran for a long time. So first king was King Cyrus, and last king of Iran was Shah of Iran. Shah is, that means king. So he was the last king of Iran. So we had kind of monarchy system in Iran for 2,500 years. And this is his family. He died about 30 years ago. He fled. He came to America. His family are still here, but he passed away himself. In his time, in Shah's time, one U.S. dollar was 70 rial. Our economy was great. And he was controlling the Middle East, and there was peace in the Middle East. You could travel to any country in the Middle East and have your vacation, and you could be fine. And this is some pictures in 1970s. There's no hijab. Iran looked like the West back then in 1970s. And we're going to look at four prophecies about the end time. What's going to happen to the future of Iran, to our country? So the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam. So what's this talking about? How many of you read this passage before and you didn't know what this talks about? You know, Elam. Where is Elam? I don't know. Hand up if you... Okay. Now you know that this is prophecy about Iran. Verse 35, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might, and upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them, scatter Iranians toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation, whether the outcasts of Elam shall not come. So God is saying that he's going to do something that a lot of Iranian people would flee. They would scatter around the world to many nations. How? Through this man. Ayatollah came in 1979, and he was stirring people up and giving message, and he gave promise. He said, I'm going to give you free education, free medication, freedom of religion, everything, food on your table for free, everything will be free. And people said, this is amazing. You're a great leader. Please take over and be our leader. And he did. He took over so easy. And he brought mandatory hijab covering. And then he started killing Christian, mandatory religion, only religion. He wanted to have only Islam would be there. He wanted to destroy Christianity in in Iran. He martyred many preachers there. And in Shah's time, apparently, they said that there were 500 born-again Christians. Many Catholics, but only 500 born-again Christians. So Christianity was not doing well by this time. It started very strong early Christianity. But then in 1970s, it wasn't good, apparently. So he hung Christians publicly. And he ordered the killing of 4,000 prisoners, those people who said, where is your promise? You told us to give us free education, free medication. And he imprisoned them and he shot them to death, 4,000 of them in one day. And people realized that, man, we made a big mistake. And he started war with Iraq for 8 years, 8 years of bombing. I still remember those days. The alarm was going off every night and we had to turn the lights off and put curtain on the window, make sure no light, nothing is going out. It was horrible time, and this brought poverty to Iran, and it was just not safe place. And because of this, many people were fleeing Iran to fulfill that Jeremiah 49 prophecy that they would be scattered. So they scattered, some through the air, some those who didn't have money, they just got on a boat illegally through the sea. They scattered. And then they went to the West. Anywhere they went, they heard the gospel. God was gracious. Even he always takes the evil and he turns it into good. So people in the West, they heard the gospel, Iranians. This is in London. Many Persians are getting baptized there. And I went to Australia in 2006. I am that fulfillment of Jeremiah 49 prophecy. I was scattered. I'm outcast. So I went to Australia and Pastor Keith Piper led me to the Lord. And we started witnessing to many Persians there. And we saw so many souls getting saved. And planted a church in Sydney, Persian church. And so some of those people who were saved outside of Iran, and they wanted to reach to Iran, to their own people, but you could not. You couldn't go back to Iran to preach. So what do? The only way to reach Iran is through media, satellite TV and radio. So Pastor Hormuz Shariat, Iran Alive Ministry, he founded Iran Alive Ministries. He's been airing the programs to the Middle East. So I'm using this platform, which is in Texas. From Texas, we air the programs into Iran. So I go to a studio in Georgia, usually. There's a studio there in Georgia, in Atlanta. I go there to record gospel messages, and from there we deliver the files to Texas, and from Texas and through Iran Alive Ministries, we air the programs into Iran and Afghanistan and Tajikistan through satellite TV as well as radio, so that people in those countries that are close, you can't go there as a missionary, sadly. But this is the only way, through satellite TV, you can get the gospel there. And it's against the law to have a satellite dish in Iran. It's illegal. You're not allowed to have a satellite dish in Iran. Do you notice something there? It's everywhere. It's out of control. 60 million out of 88 million have satellite dishes. It's out of control. People get it in black market. So it's just, even officials, they all have it. So it's kind of out of control. Sometimes authorities, they take the dishes down, and look at that. He picked it up, a motorcycle. And people gather sometimes. Sometimes somebody tunes in to watch some TV, and they notice somebody's preaching, like giving different message of hope, and they keep listening and watching, and they get saved. They tell their loved ones, others, and slowly underground churches get established in Iran. It's increasing really fast. And I led this couple to the Lord in Iran. They were living in Iran. They were watching my programs, and I was able to lead them to the Lord over Skype, Mohammed and Behnaz, and they were just wonderful couple. They were growing in the Lord really fast. And eventually, they went to Turkey, and Pastor Mohammed is pastoring the church that I established 2 years ago in Turkey. He's leading the church. He's just a godly man. He's amazing. He's been saved only for 5 years, but He is very strong in the Lord, and his wife is very godly too. So in Iran, those people who watched programs and underground churches get established, but then authorities found out about these places, these underground churches, and they breaking all the time, and they punish them, imprison them, and kill them, hang them in public. And Majid was one of them. They arrested him. They said, renounce your faith in Jesus Christ, and look at his face. He said, I'm proud to be a Christian, as he was dying. He said, I'm proud to be a Christian. Look at his smile. Can you see any terror, any fear in his face? You can't. Why? Because in Iran, in the Middle East, when you make decision to follow Jesus, you know that the cost would be death. So if you convert to Christianity, you have to be on fire. Otherwise, it won't work. So Majid, many Iranians are just hopeless how Islam has destroyed our country. And many young people at their 30, 40, even 50 still single because they can afford to provide for themselves, for their family. They don't have jobs. It's horrible situation in Iran. People have hopeless and they're very stressed out, and they do drugs and nothing. They try to be relieved, and drugs don't help. Their lives are destroyed. But then when they hear the gospel, they get saved and they get delivered from addiction, and they can see that Jesus is real. He delivered me. Religion of Islam didn't deliver me from addiction, but Jesus did, and he gave me means and eternal life. And so they are proud to be Christians there in Iran. So look at $1 in 2024. It was 70 riyal before in Shah's time, but now it's 600,000. It worth nothing. Islam destroyed our country, and a lot of people are sick of Islam. Many people have been protesting against government last, especially 5 years. They try to overthrow the regime, get rid of Islam. They say, we don't want Islamic Republic anymore because they have lost everything. There's nothing more to lose. And quickly, number two prophecy, for I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies. They are dismayed. Iran, they are very fearful. People want to overthrow them. And other nations are against Iran. But look at verse 38. And I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, says the Lord. So God is saying Jehovah is going to go to Iran. He's going to set his throne. He's going to sit on his throne. He said, I will. We know that this is Jesus Christ. When he comes back, there'll be judgment of nations. He's going to judge the king, that's Ayatollah, and princes, the officials. He's going to destroy them. That means he's going to destroy Islam for oppressing their own people, killing Christians. And verse 39, good prophecy. But it shall come to the pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, says the Lord. That's me. I'll be able to go back to Iran to preach there, to have church there during millennial reign of Christ. We're going to be able to worship freely. We won't have any Islam or injustice in Iran. There'll be peace. So after 45 years of persecution, that they wanted to destroy Christianity, he wanted to stop Christianity. Was he successful? Was Ayatollah successful to stop the work of God? After 45 years of persecution, it's likely that more Muslims are coming to Christ in Iran than any other place in the world. If you Google, in fact, World Operation website says that Iran is fastest church-growing country in the world. Many people are coming to Christ in Iran than in America. How? With no pastors, no missionaries, no church planters. How? Through media, satellite TV and radio. That's the only way that they hear the gospel. And they say that it could be, again, you can't have right number of the people who have been saved, but they say that there could be 7 million born-again Christians in Iran. So at the end, I'm going to ask you to pray for our basement. The Lord provided us a house last year, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if you provide us a house, I'm going to dedicate the basement to you. I'm going to turn it into a studio. So the Lord provided us a house, but the basement wasn't finished. And but the Lord gave me peace. He said, I'm going to take care of that. I'm like, okay. So I spoke to my mission board, Baptist World Mission, about this studio project, and they said, yes, they approved it. They approved it, and we got the budget, how much that would cost to finish the basement and get the studio set and get the equipment, cameras and computer, post-production and everything that we need. And it was $125,000 to finish this basement. So we started, the Lord already provided us some of the funds, and we started working on the basement to finish it. And this is how it looks like right now. We finished it. And next month, missionary Gene Sharp is going to come next month to set up the studio for us with a team from Georgia, that studio team from Georgia, with missionary Gene Sharp. He's going to set it up. He's an amazing, amazing man. He's been traveling overseas, everywhere in Philippines and so many other countries, putting radio towers and so on. So the goal for the studio is for satellite TV, so we don't have to travel to Georgia, obviously. It's hard for us with three kids to travel there. But also Skype Bible studies, three times a week I teach these disciples online. The churches that we planted, it was because of this. Discipling online over the years that led me to go and meet those persons, disciples that I never met. I led them to the Lord, disciple them, so we were able to go and meet them. Plant two churches in Turkey, so we're going to be able to use this to disciple in studio in our basement. Online Bible College, I have established this Bible College. I have 5 courses uploaded, but we need to develop it. I've been translating more curriculums, Bible College curriculums, from English into the Farsi. So I'm going to tape like hundreds, if not thousands of lessons, like 30, 40 different curriculums, and each curriculum has so many lessons. So we're going to be able to record those messages and upload them on websites so people can watch those lessons and PDF, download PDFs and take quizzes and pass. They're going to enroll for free so that they can be trained to preach the gospel in Iran. In Iran, you can have Bible college. Obviously, not physical. It's impossible to have a church and physical Bible college, but this online will enable us to have a Bible college for them. And in the future, my wife is gifted with music. She's going to help us to produce some conservative Farsi music. We don't have almost any. They are all charismatic and CCM music, and we don't like it. I never used those music in my ministry back in Sydney. I had to translate some of the hymns into the Farsi. So I put together 114 hymns, so songbook, and I was using that. And then at the end, so that was $125,000 budget. The Lord has already provided $95,000, so we have $30,000 to be raised. Would you pray that the Lord would provide us that fund by next month so we can have it ready and start taping and getting the gospel out. I'm going to, and then for next week, Lord willing, we're going to probably have opening service next Sunday. I'm still talking with my pastor there. Pray that the Lord would bless that ministry, that the church would grow and Persians would come to Christ in Milwaukee area. God bless you. Thank you.